listening to The Nasty Table,
the premier source for tabletop role-playing actual play. Now come on in, relax, and pull up a seat to The Nasty Table.
Bloomington.
Cosmic circuit boards, Ray.
It's the breath of a dying god.
Get back to Linwood. Find one dick in the lot, punch him in the teeth.
I know you guys think you're talking quiet, but I hear you when you say, you know, what good am I?
I want to believe you're a good man.
I'm not. I already got the tickets, Sunset.
What do you want?
Little Laura Gossman.
We just walk away from this, or?
No, there might be a hard decision to make. I'll decide if I have to kill you or not.
Got skin in this game much longer than any of y'all. Come on.
Pick it up.
Put it on the table. So I wanted to wait for you to get back for me to spill some of this cursed knowledge. Picture me laying in bed.
No.
About to fall asleep. I got my bedtime boo-boo cap on. I'm in my pajamas. And my eyes shoot open because I realize why 000 is 100. Are you ready for this? I fucking cracked the code. And I want to be clear, we're not changing the rule. Because even though there is a reason that it's 100, I still think it's cool. 000 is 100 because if you roll 0, you will succeed on a skill that you have no points in, which you shouldn't be allowed to do. So there's a 1 in 100 chance, or I should say a 1 in 99 chance, that you will succeed on a roll that you have no points in.
But it's not 100, though. It's still 0. You're treating it as a 100.
Yes.
It's still a 0.
Yes. Yeah. But the reason it's treated as 100 is to avoid that. Now, my counterargument is I think that's cool. I know nothing about forensics, but I think that me, Joe Campo, has a 1 in 99 chance to maybe say something smart about forensics. You know what I mean?
Like, literally. I watched a Netflix documentary
Give the kid a chance. Yeah. Give the kid a chance. But that's why you can roll 1 to 100 and not 0 to 99. That's why. The dice don't reflect it. So I've trusted the dice more often than I've trusted any game system that uses the dice. I believe in chance, and if it says 0, it's 0. At least that's how I feel.
It's a goddamn 0. It's a 0.
That's what it is. Yeah. The other thing that I have on my agenda here is that I know you guys feel it in the air that we are approaching the end. How long it will take, it's up to you guys, up to your choices, but regardless, we are approaching D&D. So, in an attempt for us to kind of gear ourselves closer towards D&D, and it's not going to take us long, I'll maybe spend maybe at max 10 minutes on it, start going through some D&D lore. Piecework by piecework, at the beginning of every episode, I'm going to cut it all out just so we can talk about it, so you guys can start formulating characters, like now.
Tight.
And we'll talk about it more. Like I said, I want to do a little bit at a time so you guys don't have way too much in front of you. Just talk a little bit about it, you know, before we start every session leading up to the end here and start moving towards that. But fuck D&D. We're not playing D&D. We're playing Delta Green. Can I please have a recap of the last session?
My interpreter is he's like, I fucking need Laura. Like, please give me Laura. Did he say fucking?
Well,
he did say that he wanted us at the cabin. Yeah, but that we're going to make it to the cabin.
Yeah, he wants us there. Like, yeah. And he sent us home so we could get there, right? Like,
because he said we're gonna die. Like, they got stops. You're gonna just get murdered.
Yeah.
The thing though about it is he hasn't taken anybody. He was given Emma. He was given what's his name?
Continue.
Sorry.
Call me after the teacher's done.
He was given. I'm the teacher.
Right now you got the talking stick.
What's his name?
Soup Boy?
No, not Soup Boy. The boy we thought was Soup Boy.
Ricky
Gossman. Yeah, he was Ricky. Given Ricky Gossman.
Yeah, you're right. He was.
He hasn't taken...
People have given shit to him willingly.
it, like, you
but
know.
But the I ashes, mean, like...
Yeah.
I mean, maybe someone did give him the ashes, but, like, we don't know that. Like, that's the one thing we don't know.
Yeah. Yes, DM?
I love this. It's so, like, enigmatic, emblematic, a perfect representation of my beautiful, beautiful players. School principal. Go out for donuts. Human int. Reformed child predator who openly wants to help the investigation. Human int. Known child murderer. Frequent killer. Questionable motivations and intent. You guys have not rolled human intelligence on RJ Quinnen one fucking
no way.
Time.
There's
I listened no way. Back.
That's no sick.
Not once. Across all of your conversations with him, not one time. And I love it. It's That's so insane. Beautiful to me.
We're just feeling our vibes.
I think you guys rolled human in on the lady at the reception desk when you picked up the files from the county clerks.
That's great. Fucking rat that lady was.
I think I rolled human in on Caleb.
What a fucking guy.
Right?
I love him. Like, I love him.
Well, he asked one thing from you. When you left his home, when he said no. Do you remember what he asked you to do? You remember?
Fuck.
You remember
No.
He asked one specific thing.
Oh, was it to keep Laura safe?
To keep Laura safe. Yeah.
We're like, yeah.
I'm sorry, Lang. We had to. It was fucking Laura or us.
Dude, Lang.
And clearly these grown men are fucking
Lang's the big bad the whole time.
Lang.
You had one fucking job. Then he murders April in front of you.
Oh. Yeah, we're going to have to lie to his face.
Right? Hopefully we just don't see him again.
What did we last time? Hey, can I say something? Wait, all right. We're like deep. We're deep enough to where I feel like I can say this at this point. All four of our characters...
suck?
You can have your like your opinion on it, whatever. This whole time... You know, Roy, the sergeant, the guy that everyone looks up to. Roy is a fucking piece of shit. Roy is a fucking piece of shit, actually.
I swear to God, I keep active notes in this campaign. I'll write them down, and they're pretty extensive. One of the notes I wrote, and I don't remember if I wrote it last session, the session before, or maybe the before that, but somewhere in the last six sessions, I just wrote three words. They are evil. You guys are fucking evil.
Like, I just feel like it's
manipulative,
funny. Like, Roy, like,
mean,
like, he's such a good guy,
rude.
And you start to think about it, and you're like...
Even going back, you wouldn't even say please to the homeless guy. There was a homeless guy, and all he wanted to hear
he
was you say please.
He wouldn't get it. He wouldn't
yeah,
get
he wouldn't
it.
Get it. He wouldn't get it.
Yeah. So fucking funny.
You guys are fucking murderers. You guys are sociopaths. You guys are mean and rude and evil.
Completely took advantage of Aaron Lang's time over and over again.
I feel like we fucked over Davey worse.
Davey got fucked over bad. Bad. We're like, you're seeing these pictures? You are in this now.
You don't have a choice.
Mike McCallum.
That's true. Wait,
like,
that
gun to the head, like, smiling.
Yeah, well, never died, but yeah. He was forced
you're,
to be
you're going
to
tell us how they died now, and you're not going to speak about it.
Forced fuck.
Yeah, Mike
forced
McAllister.
Gay.
One count of
forced
gay.
Yeah, Mike
gay.
McAllister.
We lost the homie, and then we lost the homie.
We have fucked over. We have fucked over.
He died.
So many people.
It's beautiful.
That's how it goes, dude.
Look, I'm a piece of shit, but everyone fucking here is a piece of shit too. All right.
I didn't say we weren't a piece of shit, but
I think
like Roy,
a gigantic.
Yeah,
piece of
I think
shit.
Everyone is a piece of shit, but like it's just like Roy's like such a good guy, but like also like the biggest piece of shit. Like that's why.
I mean, even
like no one else really hides the fact that like Roy's just like so like nice and like wholesome, but then also like Dude, you're a fucking asshole.
It's like, dude, it's like little things too. Like,
it is little things.
Like kicking the cereal under the fucking cabinet and fucking.
He kidnapped me.
I guess.
For your own good.
God damn. Whatever. All right, so how did the session end? With another person you guys fucking manipulated and fucking.
All right. Wow. That guy deserved it. Wow. He deserved it.
That's facts. He deserved every bit of it.
Don't feel bad for him.
Fuck that guy big time. Yeah.
Also, we had like no, like we did not know that that was going to happen to him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, just RJ can't draw a fucking portal.
Literally can't fucking draw.
He cut him off, dude.
He had these beautiful fucking portraits in his home. Can't draw like a circle, like a good circle.
Took your dog too.
No Sarge to be seen.
At least Sarge didn't show up in half too.
Yeah,
that'd be horrible.
Anything else for this recap?
I got shit in my ass.
So. As Greg Atkins,
you said loosen up, dude.
As I can't complain. I specifically asked for it. As Greg Atkins breathes his final breath, his eyes close. A disconcerting end, but another harp string plucked in the gorgeous symphony of the end. The lines are blurring, but the four of you are accustomed. Arguably unbothered. His blood soaks deep into Ray's carpet as the four of you find yourselves back in a familiar trailer. The good dog Sarge is nowhere to be seen. Everybody roll sanity for what you experienced and what you're seeing now.
Pass. 6 on a 27.
10 on a 25.
84 on a 39.
84 on a
35. Whoa.
84 on a 35.
Fails are going to lose 2. Passes are going to lose 0.
Being cute.
What do you guys do?
Nice. So his eyes are closed?
Yeah.
Greg.
No longer breathing.
Fuck. What, I just want to, like, go into my kitchen.
Yeah.
Get a glass of water for myself.
Okay.
And, what time is it? Is it, this, like, same time?
Quarter to 5.
Okay.
I'm still looking at Atkins. And Royce is just like... Ray. You want to leave him in here?
Yeah, this place is fucked, man. We can't even stay with or without him. We gotta go, right?
Yeah, we gotta get the fuck out of here.
Fuck. All right. We could always. I got more clothes. You know, we can gear up and just head into the fucking woods if that's a better option. I mean, go towards town, but you know, walk through.
Are there any cars in the driveway?
Looking out, there's a single car, which is Ray's truck.
It's probably not good to take that out.
Do we sell all our weapons and everything on us?
Yep. Okay. Everything that you guys were carrying.
Yeah, I'd rather not take my truck.
Yeah. How far is the station from here?
Walking about an hour.
And if we like cut through like the woods,
that's assuming that you cut through the woods for the first probably half of the trek there and then you hit the main town.
Alright, let's do it.
Anything else that anybody has to do here before we go?
Fuck, man. man. Is anybody else thinking about a phone call? I know it's not smart.
Got no one left to call, man.
Alright. Yeah.
You guys want anything before we go? Coffee? Got some bread?
Yeah.
You need to apply bandages or anything while we're inside? I mean, we got 5-10 minutes.
I just go and I find a glass and I just like fill it up with tap water and I chug it and I do that like a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
And I like, good to go.
I go rock a piss in Ray's bathroom. Walk out.
Mm-hmm. He left the toilet seat up.
It's whatever.
Peed on the seat too.
He peed on the seat and then lifted it up.
Yeah,
and drips down.
Oh god!
And now the house looks awful. That did it. That really fucking, not the dead body in the living room.
All the blood, all the blood pouring out. It literally smells like metal in here.
I mean, actively, as you guys are going about whatever motions that you're having, you're actively stepping over his corpse.
Yeah, that's so cool. It's so metal.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't touch it.
I don't know if we're gonna make it out of this, all of us. So I think it's time, at least once, to be honest about what you guys asked me. Dreams, sleeping. I don't know if it's important, but I've been my other self, but it's me. I've been a step ahead of this the whole way, so maybe this will help. But when I went to go get the papers from the office, I was asleep in the van. This was written on my hand. It's not actually written on my hand. I don't know why I turned my hand. But it says on my hand in pen, in black pen. It says, ask Charles how he got his eye patch.
Well, okay. Fuck.
Had he always had an eye patch?
Oh, yeah.
He did?
Okay. Yeah.
Sorry, I don't have the actual note. I think that's... Yeah.
Ask Charles how he lost his
eye. How he lost his eye, yeah. That would actually be a really shitty story if I was asking just like, how'd you get the eye patch? Bought it at a store?
I used to be a pirate.
So, yeah, how far is the trailer park from here?
Farther than the station. It's on the other side of town.
It's fine.
Yeah.
I'd rather take the walk. I need some time to clear my head.
This is going to be a 2-hour walk here we're talking about. If you guys are walking straight to the trailer park, keep in mind, unless you go a very roundabout way, that would probably take you 3.5 hours. Instead, you will be passing through the heart of town. Now, you guys are aware of the typical patrol routes and things like that for the police. If you're actively trying to avoid those, I'll take that into consideration, but you will still be walking through the heart of Linwood.
It's Friday.
Friday night.
If we know these patrol routes, would we know who's on these patrol routes at this time of day? Where's Gaines?
I would say no. However, once 7 o'clock hits, night shift, that you're more accustomed to. Because it's day shift and you guys have only been on it for a couple days, you're probably not accustomed on who, but you know where.
Yeah. Okay, that's fair.
What time do they do the news?
Nighttime news or morning news?
Nighttime news.
Probably 8 o'clock.
Okay, so the assumption what I'm getting at is that the normal citizen wouldn't have seen our faces yet.
That's a fair assumption to make.
Okay. Unless they knew us by name as cops, it'd just be 4 cops are wanted and if we're in street clothes.
Yeah, let's take that into consideration and fuck it, let's just go. We trusted your hunch before. We got to do it again. Let's go straight to the trailer park.
Yeah, I mean, listen, if they if they come back in, I mean, we're prepared.
Yeah, we're walking mad uncomfortable during this walk, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's no different than the end goal we're walking into. So.
Right.
So, walking out of the trailer, stepping over the body of Greg Adkins, you guys pass Ray's truck, step into the woods, and begin making your way out towards Linwood. Now, the next, say, well, here's the question. Are we going roundabout, 100% chance of not being detected, sticking only to the trees, or are you guys walking actively on the streets, saving a little bit of time, but risking a little more exposure? It's up to you guys. It's going to take double the time if you're going to try and go roundabout.
Is there a way we can, like geographically making sense, go like half and half, if you will? You know what I mean?
Well, that's kind of what I'm assuming, but at some point you're going to have to walk on a main road if you're not actively avoiding it.
My thought is that we do that till 7, till we know the routes.
And then kind of hide back into the tree line?
Hide back in the tree line till 7. And then once we know that, well, actually, do we want to... All the cops know our faces in there. Right. It's just that we'll know, like, oh, this is the one that Gaines takes. Gaines goes down here, over here. So we can better prepare for it after 7.
So while we're walking on the woods in my property, I would like to make a point to look out for any... Like, has anyone been here? Like, on the property? Have they been looking?
Roll search. Yeah.
Because I would be familiar, obviously. Like,
yeah.
54 on a 62.
No, it doesn't look like anyone's been around.
Okay.
So, what happens next is a series of trekking through the woods, going back onto the main roads, walking, trying to avoid people with your knowledge of the different patrol routes and all that kind of stuff. Avoiding those as well. I need everyone here to roll either stealth to try and remain hidden, bureaucracy to try and remember all those routes, or law to know frequent routes and kind of how to actively avoid stuff like that. Different kind of ways that you can go about it to use your knowledge of law, I guess. I can't really think of an example, but I'm asking for it anyway.
Stealth. 9 on a 76.
Nice.
Law. 9.
What?
That's twice, by the way. 9 on a 34.
Bureaucracy. Bureaucracy. 98 on a 51.
Law. 71 on a 55.
So, there's a point as Ray's guiding everyone through. You guys have been walking for maybe about 45 minutes, hit a main road. Caleb and Roy are like, yeah, we'll go down this way. And Jerry's like, no, you know what? No, they just switched that route. That's going to be an active route. Make sure you go this way instead. And you guys are like, oh, yeah, that's right. Avoid that. Make your way up. You guys are about halfway there. Now, at this point, you guys are close to the police station, but obviously giving it a wide berth, assuming maybe at least 6 blocks, but in the general vicinity. You guys are in the heart of the city now. I need you to re-roll those checks again.
Oh. 72 on a 76 for stealth.
Wow.
11 on a 34.
62 on a 55 for law.
32 on a 51 for bureaucracy.
So everyone's able to kind of fall in line. Roy makes another bad call, and Jerry knows if we make this turn, there's going to be someone coming probably at this time, actively avoiding it, stepping out of the way. Kind of scurrying across the street, making your way past a couple of people walking, and you can see a cop car roll by, not pay you any mind as it makes a left turn. Continuing down, you guys are approaching. At this point, we are looking at around 7:30 at night. The sun has set. You guys are probably 2 blocks away from the trailer park on foot. What do you guys want to do?
From very far away, kind of where... Who parked far away initially? Was it you, Caleb?
Yeah.
Like, can we get to that general area?
Yeah. You start making your way there, and you can see this hill that leads up to the trailer park, and off to your right, you pass a McDonald's. Passing by a little bit further and making your way up across the street, back up this hill, start climbing it, walking up it. The snow has obviously melted a decent amount at this point, but the night air is frigid. It's pretty cold. Making your way up to that kind of hidden away spot that marks the beginning of the trail leading up to the trailer park. You guys are all there.
Do we see, you know, Roy's looking police lights to see if there's, I know it's getting darker.
During this entire time, you have noticed no active police presence, and even now in the distance, which you can't make out any of the trailer park at this distance, to be clear, but you don't see any lights in the distance or hear any sirens.
Can I see smoke?
Not from this distance.
Okay.
When we were walking this whole walk, did it seem like there was more or less or the same amount of police presence in the city?
With your guys' role and also taking into account Jerry's critical success, it seems the same. A typical night in Linwood.
Shall we?
Yeah, let's do it. Warm up by that fire a little bit, maybe.
Yeah. Start walking.
Walking up, your fingers are cold as you crest over the hill and look upon a beacon of light in the cold winter night, manned by three wise men. You guys are probably about 75 yards away from it at this point, but it's not hard to make out the familiar figures who warm their bones by the fire.
Can we see the trailer?
You can. The lights are off. Doesn't look like there's any movement outside or anything odd or out of place. Okay.
Did we leave that police car there?
No, it was, you mean under the cover?
Yeah.
It was Lang's.
Did Lang take it? Did he take it?
Yeah, he took it back.
Are there any car? I kind of like think, maybe I see like Caleb like trying to peek to see if the car was still there. Are there any cars around right now in this lot?
Yeah, there's cars parked in like near trailers.
Okay. Roy takes the first step forward, right? Starts walking to the three fucking beautiful wise men.
First step, crashes to the ground. Everybody follows?
I follow.
Yeah. Closing the distance between yourselves and the three wise men happens quickly. As you approach, maybe about halfway between there, you can see one of the figures look over to either side, and two figures on his left and right step away, walking towards the woods behind them. The figure that remains, that you can see at this point, illuminated as the light flickers up and the fire shines on his face, is Charles. Sticking his hand out, rubbing them to warm by the fire. He looks up as you approach.
Charles? I stick my hand out to shake it.
He puts his hand out, shakes it.
Roy gives him like a smirk, like, how's it going, man?
It's going. I hope you're not upset with me about the other night, but that police officer, he made it clear to me to not tell you that he was in there. He seemed pretty convincing, so I apologize.
No, look, we get it. The past, you know, week and change has been hectic for us, and absolutely has been fucking pretty hectic for you, too. A lot's changed since that night. How you holding up?
I'm okay. Can't complain. That tape you gave me for my music box there was pretty good. And he looks towards Ray and kind of gives him a nod. But I don't know if that's my type of music. I'm not sure I know what is yet. But it was a nice gesture nonetheless, so I apologize for deceiving you. How goes the case?
Like, chuckles a little bit. He's like, it's going. Yeah, we're struggling, man. We're feels like we're hanging by a thread.
You look a bit worse for wear, to be honest. Why are y'all wearing matching hats?
We were in Minneapolis today. Saw the Stars game. You a Stars fan?
I don't know what that is.
Okay. He's just like, all right, geez.
Yeah. Yes, you know, Minneapolis hockey team, professional hockey team.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's he wearing?
Rags. Dirty clothes. The suit that you've seen him in previously is no longer on him. And his head that you can see now, and you guys have seen it before, no eye patch, but just a wrapping of bandage that kind of looks like it's old, dirty.
You want a replacement there, man? We got some gauze.
No, I'm okay. I'll probably replace it maybe next week or something. Gotta replace it every once in a while or else it gets infected, so...
You're sure we got something on us right now, if you want it?
Oh, I'll take it, but I don't need you to rewrap it for me or anything.
Yeah, I know we got a med kit, like, taped to our ass.
Mm-hmm.
Hand him the bandage he needs.
Thanks. Do you mind if I...
Not at all, no.
He slowly starts taking the bandage off, wraps it out, and you can see this fucking gaping socket still... oozing, and you can see like the edges of it crusted over with this black and dark coloring. Puts the new bandage on it, and he's talking as he's wrapping his head. So what takes you out here at this time of night? Figure you didn't come to chit chat.
Place of interest, you know. You ain't seen anybody else up at the trailer, right?
No, not since you came here.
Good thing you did for that kid. It's a good guy.
I hope so. I hope I didn't upset you like I said.
No, you're fine. Just reconnaissance. When you get that changed, what do you get down? Vet's hospital?
No, I usually run down to the corner store with whatever change I got up and pick up a pack of gauze.
I mean, I was so out of it when we talked before. I thought you told me you lost that in the war.
No.
Hell, I think we're close enough. How did you lose it?
Who's asking? Who's asking, kid?
Help, Caleb. I hope it's Caleb.
Don't do this. Don't do this. Please.
Did I ask you before?
No. But don't go down this path. Not now. You can't keep doing it. I talked to you about it. We talked about it. Division... sense of self and purpose. This isn't for you.
Who's it for?
He doesn't exist anymore.
When did I lose him?
And you can see him like breathe really deeply, and he like rubs his other eye. I'm sorry, kid. I'm sorry for all this. But there's a reason you brought me along. There's a reason he brought me along. To see him. He trusts me, kid. Killian trusts me. I'm old. He was old, but when we were younger... we worked together on the force at first, and then other places, and the killing. It doesn't matter. Please just drop it.
What if I want to find it? What if I want to find that part that's lost? Because what am I now? What will I be?
Come with me. And he turns his head behind him. And then he turns back and looks at you. If you want to find out,
I follow.
Follow. Starts walking towards the woods. What does everyone else do?
Follow. Right? What do we do? Right? What the fuck do we do here? This is so weird.
I was gonna say Roy is like this is the final stretch. Like Roy's like kinda like yeah, like the fucking do it, dude. Like figure it out for yourself, man. Like I'm gonna stay here. Like that's what Roy's doing.
Ray is kinda seething.
Seething?
Yeah. He's a little, this is just pissing him off. And he's not acting. He's just looking mad.
Jerry's like kind of like starts walking and then like turns to like see Roy and he's like stuck in the middle of the two, and then stays back.
This guy, I hand Jerry a fucking Cuban. I mean, well, we know it's not Cuban.
I need everyone to leave the table except for Mike Finn.
God, at least it's nice out.
It's so nice out.
He starts walking away towards the woods and you're following behind him. He's talking. It was for the mob at first. Then the freaks. Indiscriminately killing for a thousand reasons. Him and I. I wanted out. They obliged at the price of my eye. Killian took it. Killian stayed. Then Killian died. Then Killian came back.
Died heart attack in his bed.
He did. It's true. He was an old man. Older than me. But he came back. He found me. You found me a few years ago. He has a hold of you sometimes. Mostly at night, sometimes during the day. He went back to killing. For them.
Did you say he or did you say you?
He.
Thank you. Thank you.
For what? Lying?
No. It's been a... It's been a lot of blame, and I think I'm responsible for some, but it's... It's nice that somebody understands.
Listen, kid, you're not him. Continue walking far in the woods. As you guys are walking, you pass this red canvas tent and you can see a boombox sticking out of it. Another 50 or so yards, and you can see this small windowless shack locked by a padlock. Charles looks at you and he's got tears streaming down his face. He told me never to let you know. Kid, just leave it here. Leave it as it is. Just go home. He's got a key in his hand and he sticks it out to you. It's your choice, but that's just my 2 cents.
Go home to what?
A life that isn't this.
What's this? I mean, you know, right? You're here. You're here to what? Protect me?
No, kid. I'm here to help him. I'm a dog. Just like I helped him then. Same as it ever was. We didn't go there to visit his grave. Yeah, it's true. He stopped at some dress shops. I don't know what he was looking for. But we didn't go there to check out his grave.
Why were we there?
Two men. They didn't tell me their names. cut their throats outside of a diner.
Yeah.
He's still got the key in his hand sticking out.
So you know my purpose?
No. But this shed was his. This is where he works.
Your dog to what?
To Killian O'Connor.
Why? What did he ever do for you? A man who never did anything for anybody.
Kid, he was my friend. He was my friend. That was enough for me.
Get closer to him. Grasp the other end of the key.
Mm-hmm.
And you just sat there and let me ruin my life. Me, not him, Caleb. And you told me to go home. Go home to nothing. Because you let him take me over. Be somebody who I'm not. Why did I never get to live? And you stood there idly.
Have
you're just as much to blame as him.
Ever been owned by another person? Another person who sees you as an object, who owns you? See, kid, after I was done, I never owned another thing in my life. Do you think I am the way I am from choice? Ownership is not as valuable as identity. I know who I am. You need to find out who you are and own nothing in the process. I was owned by a man who took my eye. And when he came back wearing your skin, I was owned again. Blame me all you want. You were never supposed to get this far. You were never supposed to figure out anything. And I'm not sorry. That's not true. I am sorry. And he kind of like collapses down to his knees. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. As he like brings himself down, the key that you got your finger on kind of slides out of his hands and now it's in your hand. I'm sorry.
He wanted me to know. And I show him my hand.
And he looks up, wipes his eye. Doesn't look you in the eyes, stands back up. Turns around and starts walking away.
I approach the shack.
Approaching the shack. You can see it, this shoddily made, looks like maybe nailed together 2x4s and pallets that make up this structure. No windows, but this door that hangs on rusty hinges. Padlock. No handle. And it opens in.
I put the key in the padlock.
Key in the padlock.
Open the lock.
Open the lock.
Taking off the latch.
Take the padlock off the latch.
Push that door in.
Open the door to reveal a single room. Maybe 15 by 15 feet. Table against the wall covered in different machinery parts. Wires, watches, containers filled with black powder, nails. Halfway assembled devices, a military style cot in the corner, neatly made, several opaque plastic containers, along the walls, as well as a shelf with various parts, bits and bobs, automotive machinery parts. On the table, two heavy metal pipes with welded caps on either side.
The pipes, are they solid on the inside?
Kind of step up to there and you can see this table. You kind of pick one up and you look at it and you can see that there's different caps on either end of this pipe welded together. Shake it and sounds like there's something in there, and there's a fuse that extends out the top. Off to the right of this table, several different containers.
Can I see they're clear?
Opaque.
Are they stacked?
Yeah.
Open the top of one.
Open the top of one and you can see different gun parts, upper and lower receivers of what look like assault rifles. That's at least in this first one. It looks like there's five in total.
Grab another.
Different guns, handguns, revolvers, pistols.
Another.
Clothes. Lots of clothes in different styles, hats, jackets, pants, shoes of different sizes.
The fourth.
The fourth one has more clothes, but on top you see wallets. Three wallets.
Check the IDs.
The ID in the first one, it looks like it's a Wisconsin ID, driver's license, Robert Walters. The picture is you.
The second one?
Jonathan Hayes, Pennsylvania. The picture is you.
And the third?
Richard McGee, Illinois. The picture is you.
Is there a date issued on these?
Yes, between the three of them, the oldest one was issued 4 years ago. 4 years ago. The youngest, 6 months ago.
And the last box?
More clothes with two passports on top belonging to A1 Robert Walters and Richard McGee. Put the lid back on that box. And you can hear a voice from behind you, close to the door. Why didn't you ever write me?
Was I supposed to?
Well, I mean, you're not dumb, Caleb. You put it together. I mean, why didn't you write to me? Ask me why? Ask me how? You were scared. You had me locked up. You had me in handcuffs.
When?
Do you turn around?
That, when I say when, I start to look over my shoulder.
Standing at the door, almost blocking it, is you. And you found out, you know, you're scared. You finally got your hand on the steering wheel, kid. I mean, talk to me. Talk to your dad.
I thought you'd be done. You didn't have a purpose.
No, I mean, I did, but... Listen, Caleb, I'm sorry that we ended up here. I really am, but I'm supposed to stand here now. I'm supposed to tell you how an explanation isn't going to do you any justice, how I never wanted you to find out, how I'm sorry, and I never meant to hurt you. Tried to be a good father, provide for the family, for you and your sisters. I'm supposed to tell you how I was an underpaid officer with a family to feed who got in over their head with a group of dangerous people messing with some questionable otherworldly things. That's what I'm supposed to stand here and tell you. I'm supposed to tell you that I tried to be a man that you could look up to, a man that you could be proud of, a man that you could call your father, and motivations are meaningless. And I know And this is true. I know that you know that blood spilt is blood spilt, so no meaning is anything. Not to you, right? How I used you as a tool, how death wasn't the end for me. Son, I'm supposed to stand here and tell you when I breathed my last breath in that cold hospital room, surrounded by you and the family and all that, that I found myself on the rolling tides of her shore. I'm supposed to tell you how the lives I'd taken up to that point had built me a staircase made out of their bones that led to her throne. I'm supposed to tell you that I was granted a pardon for my service and had my soul shot into my son's head like a bullet. That's what I'm supposed to tell you. And you nod at yourself. And while that's true, son, while that's all true, I have a hold over you. Starting on my death. 1 year, 8 months, and 14 days ago. And you're smart. Have you done the math? These fictions that you made, they're not me. Imagine my surprise to find it already taken hold of you when I popped into there. Caleb, you've been walking that path for 6 years prior, at least. You don't remember it, do you?
I know you know it's not by choice. I never got to make a choice.
You haven't figured it out yet, huh? You're a ghost. You are not my son. You need to understand that there's three of us here. It's me and my son. And you. A conglomeration of his subconscious. All these ideas of guilt and... You're spineless. And you're not real. And he starts walking up to you just slowly. Your mind in his mind that's been slow-fed the morphine of a mundane life. A wife. A job. And yard work. You are not a person. He's close now and he kind of places a hand on your shoulder. You were made up by my son. Carry the burdens that he apparently was too weak to bear. That's who you are.
His bones, stairway, everything you collected, everything you did, and you're standing here talking to me? It was worth it. It was all worth it.
I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to a tumor that exists on the brain of my son. And he puts his other hand on your shoulder. And I'm sorry that you've been dragged into this. Really, I am. I'm sorry that you existed in the first place. I'm sorry you were fabricated by him. I'm sorry he was weak. And I'm sorry he made you up, wanting to pretend that he lived a normal life. How you got to this point, how you took control over him, that I don't know. He's got two hands on either of your shoulders. But listen, thing. My son and I have work to do. And you're getting in the way. With his hands on either one of your shoulders, quickly, he starts strangling you, choking and pressing his thumbs into your neck. What do you do?
Reach for my pockets.
Reach for your pockets, reaching down, and he's still grabbing your throat. What do you do?
Pistol. Left jacket pocket.
Left jacket pocket. You grab it, and he looks down, and he pushes you backwards. Get those dice out. We're entering combat. So, I need you to roll athletics for me.
Fuck! 38 on a 34.
11 on a 34. So, he pushes you and you stumble back. Kind of your back leg collapses against the other one and you fall down on your butt. Now it's your action. What do you want to do?
Do I still have the gun in my hand?
You probably had your hand on the gun, and then when you got pushed back, now it's off the gun.
How far away is he from me?
Maybe 10 feet.
Would I be able to pull it out again?
You could pull it out and take a shot, but you'd probably add 20 to it since you didn't have it out and ready.
Okay, I would assume... I think I had two pistols on me. I wrote it down. Okay, yeah, I don't have the sawed off. I just have two pistols. I took a pistol in place of the sawed off. Yeah, it'd be in the jacket pocket.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to pull, I guess, from the left side, right hand. Try to put him into his gut.
Okay, roll firearms, and whatever you roll, add 20 to it. What's your health at?
11. It's at the max.
Okay.
Sorry, 83 on a 50.
83 on a 50. The gunshot goes wide, embeds itself in the wood over, and he like looks at you like wide-eyed. And he says, "You want purpose? I will give you purpose. Give me my son back." And he winds up a punch, goes down to throw down on you. What's your unarmed skill?
60.
60. All right, would you like to circumvent your next turn in order to roll dodge to avoid this punch? Basically, he'll get to act twice.
Yeah, but would I be able to move in this dodge? Like, would I be able to stand up in this dodge?
Nope. So basically, when you take the dodge action, it's almost like taking a reaction, but you don't get to take your action.
No, I don't want to take the dodge action. Okay.
66 on a...
60.
60. He winds up for the punch, goes wide, and you can see him stumble over himself and kind of fall to his side and try to steady himself up. What do you do?
Close enough now, I have the gun in my hand. How close is he to me?
Maybe a foot.
Can I put this thing in his stomach and fire?
Yeah, roll firearms. Are you purposefully trying to be non-lethal?
I want to get him off of me and on the ground.
Gotcha.
42 on a 50.
42 on a 50. I'm going to roll the damage and keep it secret from you. You bring the gun up to shoot him in his gut, and as you pull the trigger, you realize that you might have pulled it a little bit too early as it just barely grazes the side of him. And he steadies himself and looks up, and blood starts dripping down. Why are you doing this? Why? And he winds up for a punch, goes to punch you again. 44 on a 60?
Yeah.
Okay. You're going to take 2 points of damage as this punch connects right to your head.
Okay. Same thing. Gun pressed against him, right in his gut again.
No answer?
No.
Roll firearms.
I'm gonna roll this with advantage. Or with the program point.
Go ahead.
24 on a 50.
24 on a 50. Okay. I'm gonna roll damage. The gunshot rings out. This one goes through and through. You can hear it like whoosh, hit the top of the ceiling as it goes through his back, and he just bleeds on you as he's on top of you, and he moves his hands to try and choke you again. 20 on a 60 to try and reinforce this choke, and he's got it on you, and he's just looking you in the eyes, and you can see him, and it looks like you, like you're looking in a mirror, and he's just screaming at you. What we're doing is important. You don't have any idea. Stop this now. What do you do? Oh, I'm sorry. You're also going to take 1 point of damage as he's choking you.
Hands wrapped around my neck, getting tighter. I pull the gun up again, put it to his stomach, and just... He wasn't always this.
Roll firearms.
Fuck, I gotta steal one from Nick. We have half a program point together.
Oh, go out. No, it has to be a roll that you guys are both involved in.
That's fair.
Yep.
That's a fair point.
That's what I said.
All right, just rolling straight. Is it a different roll for, like, kicking him off of me?
Unarmed.
Yeah, I want to try to back against the floor, two legs, kick him off of me.
Okay.
Fuck. 64 on a 60.
64 on a 60. You try to kick him off, but you're not able to. He reinforces his grip and tries to knock the gun out of your hand instead. So, I'm sorry, he doesn't reinforce his grip. He lightens his grip, tries to knock the gun out of your hand. 56 on a 60. I need you to roll a contested unarmed combat to try and keep hold of this gun.
Goddamn, 64 on a 60.
The gun goes clattering across the ground, and now he's got, like, one hand on your chest, and the other hand swipes the gun out. With a resounding clatter, the gun hits the ground. What do you do? He's still on top of you.
Again, unarmed combat.
Trying to kick him off?
Trying to kick him off.
Go ahead.
3 on a 60.
3 on a 60. He's going to contest that and fails. You kick him off and he kind of like steadies himself and he's on his knees. His turn, he's going to go pick up the gun. It's just right there. He just reaches and grabs it and points it towards you, and he says, consider in your made-up mind how important it is what we are doing. Stop now. And he's got the gun pointed right at you.
Give me one good reason.
Purpose. This is your purpose.
This is my purpose. He wasn't always like this.
Who? You? Caleb? Me? Who?
Me. This is me.
You are not real. You're not understanding this. You are made up. You are not Caleb.
How do you know what he wants? You forced him into this.
No, I didn't. I keep telling you. You must be stupider than him. Do the math. I only passed on less than 2 years ago. You've been doing this for longer. He's been doing this for longer. Because Caleb, my son, understands the big picture.
So paint it for me.
And he clicks the gun, puts it back. You don't have a say in this. You're a tumor that exists inside of him.
You tell me to stop. You keep telling me to stop. Explain it then. What is your purpose?
It doesn't involve you. And I'm sorry. He pulls the trigger. What's your firearm score?
Firearm score?
Mm-hmm.
It's a 50.
66 on a 50. And a bullet doesn't come out. And he looks towards it. And looks back at you.
Pull out the other gun.
Backup gun?
Backup gun.
What do you do?
Square in the forehead.
Roll firearms.
44 on a 50.
You line the shot up, and he looks, still looking at the gun, and then back to you, and he looks at you and he knows it's over. You just fucking ruined everything. And if you have half a mind, help RJ, you stupid fuck. Bang. Gunshot rings out, and you can see the blood blow out of the back of your own head, and he collapses. And quickly you find yourself standing in the shed. Alone. Shards and bits of memories enter your mind like nails being jammed into your head. You are Caleb O'Connor, a contract killer who spent the last 8 years killing indiscriminately on orders from members of various crime families. Through your time spent with them, you've been exposed to the concept of Opsagos Enikos, a figure worshipped by members of these crime families as well as others. You've committed over 60 murders, each one memorized in visceral, vivid detail. Men who owed money, women who witnessed things, and eventually, those among the ring who would speak out regarding worship of this deity. Directly involved, you remember this ring in detail, headed by Daniel Winters, who you've met multiple times, and RJ Quinnen, and Bobby Tillman, of whom you were particularly close with. This ring consists of members of several crime families, police forces, and other criminals, all connected by Opsagos Enikos. Originally believed to be an odd, but well-worshipped figure among this ring, later it became much more real. In 1969, RJ Quinnen, along with Chris Malachi, Sean Gossman, and Bobby Tillman, transported a coffin containing the remains believed to belong to this deity from Pittsburgh to Minneapolis. You heard, secondhand, that RJ and Bobby allegedly killed Sean and Chris, stealing the coffin for themselves, taking it to Linwood. Through a series of negotiations, Winters and RJ agreed to terms. RJ would keep the coffin, and Winters would keep the corpse. Winters studied the corpse intensely for months, revealing the power it held. Most notably, and most recently, the discovery that it could be used to manipulate the free will of men. Although you were close to people in the cult, you were a killer. You took orders, but only from certain heads. RJ Quinnen, John LaRocca, Marcia Tillman, and Dan Winters himself. You didn't ask questions, and you didn't care to know. These memories are hazy. There are pieces you can't remember, but one thing is certain. At this point in time, you still carry the fabricated memories of your previous life, created from an amassment of your guilt and self-doubt. They now serve as totems, desperately trying to ground you and remind yourself that this is not the way. Now, you can take it easy. I'm going to give you a copy of what I just read.
No, I mean, I think the thought process is still... The biggest thing that jumped out at me was Marcia.
You remember working for these people, and you've been working for these people for 8 years.
Yeah. Marcia's a bigger player than RJ told us she was.
You come away with that understanding, yes.
And RJ, from all of my memories, RJ and Winters seem pretty close.
Until the coffin.
Yeah. Until the coffin, until Chris was killed.
Yeah.
That's when they split. It wasn't an amicable...
You remember, and most of this is just stuff that you heard secondhand. They were tasked to bring a coffin from Pittsburgh to Minneapolis. But RJ and Bobby, for some reason, killed Sean and Chris. Took the coffin and the corpse inside of it to Linwood. And then, through a series of negotiations that you're not aware of...
Winters got the body.
Winters got the body. RJ got the coffin. And then they started working together again for a little bit. And you don't know what happened past that.
Do I remember anything about what the work was, killing kids?
No. You had nothing to do with that.
Killing adults. My motives weren't told to me, like, you have to kill this person because...
Most of the time, any kind of particular reasonings to it was tied to the deity in some regard, or the criminal element involved in this cult, which it was a cult.
It wasn't these bones stacked on top of bones to get to a ladder.
Nope.
It almost felt like mob killings.
More than anything, yeah.
Yeah.
At the bottom, you'll see a tracking of your health as it fell apart. I just used it to write on.
Thank you.
How does Caleb feel being alone in here again? You're still going to take the damage.
Yeah.
And you look down and you can see...
It's actually not as much as I thought.
You can see, like, stuck in your side, a gunshot wound, like, scraping against the side. Almost as if that time that you pulled the trigger and it scraped against his side, just winging him. You kind of look down and you can see that cut deep in you. Your throat obviously hurts. You feel like you've been punched.
Wait, you said a cut in my side? What'd you say?
Gunshot wound in your side.
I did get shot.
Not a bullet, but like a whiz past of the... Like you got winged. You didn't get shot once, but you shot him. One of the shots winged him in his side where it just kind of scraped along the side of his stomach.
So why would...
Good question.
Do I feel it in my forehead?
Yeah. It's just a little sore, but you don't have any actual damage there.
From the story I heard hours ago. Do I remember Ray's family?
Take the time. You think. Pittsburgh. Witnesses to a deal. Transfer of artifacts, maybe. Man and a woman. Leo and Laurel Morrison. You went there. You saw them. You killed them. You remember, even now, this conglomeration of old and new memories. A man who looked like Ray. But knowing Ray now, that wasn't him. You held the gun. You pulled the trigger. You and you alone. There's no more facade to hide behind.
Willingly.
And what do you do?
I turn. Box that had the coats in it.
Yep.
Is there a pair of gloves in there?
Yep.
Thick gloves?
Yep.
Put them on. I pick up my other gun, both guns, put them back, leave the shack, place the lock back on, walk back through the woods to the barrel.
As the light of the barrel fire dips and dives in and out of the tree line on the horizon, you find yourself with your back to a shed. Back to your past and heading back to the present. Your quest to find yourself, to find what makes you you, look for purpose, look for pride. And that's where we're going to pick up next session.
Thanks for listening to this episode of LFVCU, a Nasty Table production.